Good to be with you this morning to once again study a portion of God's Word. As we've been going through the Bible, we this morning are going to be talking about a couple kings that made some really dumb or bad decisions in their lives. And I'd like to start, though, with thinking with how easy is it to come after a legend. Quite a few years ago now, Steve Spurrier took the Florida football team and really raised it to a new level. And Spurrier became sort of a legend. If you look at his record, he won 90% of his conference games over the time that he was a coach there. So that when he left, it was very difficult for somebody else to come in his place. Ron Zook became the coach after Spurrier, and actually Zook had a pretty good record. He won 2/3 of his conference games, but after 3 years, he was fired, because it's hard to replace a legend. I was reading this week about Coach K that led Duke to their 4th national championship, and he's become a legend. There were some articles that he's one of the greatest coaches ever, but deep down in that arc, you read that after his 3rd year coach of Duke, when he was a much younger, Duke had 3 straight losing seasons, and they were about ready to fire him. But people forget that. And that's the thing with legends. People seem to just remember some things and they forget others. So in our story today, Solomon, who was a tremendous legend, has just died, and his son Rehoboam becomes king. Now you think about coming after somebody like Solomon. In many ways, if you read through Kings, Solomon was really larger than life. He had 1,000 wives. Now, I don't think that's a literal number, but it just basically, he had way too many wives. He had way too many horses. He had way too many, he had way too much everything. If you read through the Kings. In fact, if you want one word to sort of describe Solomon, it's extravagant. He's just over the top with everything he did. Well, how are you going to come after something like how are you going to come after somebody like that? Well, that's what Rehoboam was faced with. He was going to become king after this man Solomon, that just had too much of everything. And that's the story today: is how do you come after a legend? And that's what Rehoboam was faced with. Now, the Bible says that he may have been 41. I've read other places that the translations he may have been 21. It presents him as a young man. Here is a young man who's been raised under Solomon. He's seen all the extravaganza that his father was and all the stuff that Solomon did. He's seen all of that. He's raised in that. And now he's become king. And all of Israel comes together to make him king. And this man, Rehoboam, then is faced with, who do I listen to? How do I make decisions? And one of the things we see in Rehoboam's is he doesn't always listen to the people he should listen to. But he comes there, Israel comes together, and the man leading the delegation to him is a man named Jeroboam. Now, if Rehoboam had anything like the intelligence of his father, he should have been on pins and needles right away, because the prophet had already told Jeroboam that he was going to become king, that God was going to rip the kingdom out of Solomon's hands, of Solomon's children, and give it to him. And so it's just Jeroboam that Solomon tried to put to death. When Solomon found out about it, Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam had to run away to Egypt. But now he's back, he's leading the delegation, and they come before Rehoboam, and they tell Rehoboam, you know, your dad, Solomon, placed heavy taxes on us. He forced us into forced labor. He brought in all these foreign gods. He was, in many ways, a terrible king. If you will lighten the load on us, we will serve you. And Rehoboam hears this and says, okay, let me think about it. And he goes back and he listened to his father's advisors. Now, if you look at what Solomon did, Solomon must not have listened to his own advisors very much, because they give young Rehoboam some good advice. They tell him, you know, if you just serve these people, if you'll lighten the taxes and lighten the load on them, they will serve you. But Rehoboam turns away and he turns to the young guys that he grew up with. And he listens to them. And they tell him, you know, your father was hard. You got to show him who's boss here. If your father was hard, you'd be even harder. And that's the message he comes back with. He says, you think my father was tough? I'm going to be tougher. And I'm going to lay even more taxes and more labor on you than my dad ever thought about doing. And that's the story with Rehoboam. And of course, Israel revolts against him. They treat Jeroboam and they make him king over now the split kingdom. And from now on, Israel is going to be split between the northern kingdom, which will simply be called Israel, and it will be by far the larger with 10 tribes, and the southern small kingdom that will stay there with Rehoboam and the sons of David because of God's great promise to David that the Messiah would sit on the throne of David and rule over the house that David would have. And because of God's covenant with David, there would still be of Jerusalem and still be a tribe of Judah, but it would be nothing like as much as it had been. Basically, Solomon's empire is destroyed at his death. And it comes about mostly because Rehoboam makes bad decisions listening to the wrong people. One of the things we have today is that you can go on the internet and you can see just about anything you want to see or listen to anything you want to listen to. And I've read a number of articles that points out the fact that so many people, they will go and read about things, but we read about the things that we want to read about. And basically to reinforce the ideas that we already have. In other words, we don't really want new ideas. We just want people to agree with us. In Timothy, Paul warns the young man Timothy of this very thing. And notice what Paul says to the young preacher Timothy. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is a judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, or encourage with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And so often you see that very thing happening to us. We have itching ears. We only want to listen to what we want to listen to. We want somebody to come tell us what we want to do is the right thing to do. We want to listen to what we want to listen to. And so often we hear that. People say, well, I ask other people what to do or what decisions to make, but we already made up our mind. And we just listen to people that reinforce what we already want to do. Notice what Paul says. They don't want to listen to sound teaching. They don't want to listen to the truth. Sometimes we fall into that. We don't want to listen to the true Word of God. And that's the warning that Paul brings out. And that's a warning to each one of us, and we see it with Rehoboam. I mean, the good teaching was there. The good decision was there for him, but he didn't listen to it. And so often we can allow ourselves to just listen to what we want to listen to. And we can make up our minds and we can rationalize it without listening to sound doctrine or listen to true Word of God and not just what we want to do. That's what Rehoboam fell into. In Hebrews 13, it says, look to your leaders, those who taught you the Word of God, and imitate their lives. Listen to them. Listen to sound teaching and not just what you want to hear. Too often, that's what we do. We listen to what we want to hear. But there's another king here too, and that's the king Jeroboam. Jeroboam, after Rehoboam had made his bad decision, he takes all of Israel up, and he basically becomes king over all of Israel now, except for the tribe of Judah. And God had already told him that he would bless Jeroboam. If we go back to chapter 11 of Kings, notice what God says to Jeroboam in chapter 11, verse 31 through 34. He says, thus the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and the sake of Jerusalem, the city I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken me and worshipped Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Molech, the god of the Amorites. They have not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight, keeping my statutes and my rules, as David, his father, did. Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose and who kept my commandments and my statutes." Now, this is the prophecy he gives to Jeroboam, that he will give him the northern kingdom. And notice on down in the next couple of verses what he says to Jeroboam. I will take you, and you will reign over all your soul desires. That's the promise that God makes Jeroboam. I will give you everything you can desire, Jeroboam, is what God is telling him. "And you shall be king over Israel. And if you listen to all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you, and I will build you a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." Now that's a tremendous promise that God gives this young man, Jeroboam. If you look over in chapter 11, Jeroboam had been one of the basically leaders under Solomon. He was a man of great promise. And here God tells him, "I'm going to give you everything you desire. I'll give you all of Israel. Not only that, I will make you into a dynasty for generations to come." The same kind of promise he made to David. "All you have to do, Jeroboam, is walk in my ways. Keep my commandments. Be a leader to your people Israel as I want you to be, as David was before you. And if you do that, I will make you into a dynasty." But Jeroboam, though he listens to God and sees everything happen just exactly the way the prophet says it would happen, after Rehoboam makes his bad decision, everything comes to Jeroboam. And he makes himself a home, and he makes himself king over all of Israel. But it's not enough. He looks around and he says, "You know, how am I going to hold on to all this?" Now, God had already told him how to hold on to it. "All you have to do is walk in my ways, and I'll give it to you, and I'll watch over you." But Jeroboam is a man of great ability himself. And like so many of us, he looked, "How can I hold on to it?" And that's the mistake that Jeroboam makes, in that I'm going to do this. I'm going to hold on to it. And notice what Jeroboam does in 2 Kings, beginning in verse 25. "Then Jeroboam built in Shechem, the hill country of Ephraim, and lived there. And he went from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah.' So the king took counsel, and he made 2 golden calves of gold. And he said to the people, 'You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And he sent one in Bethel, and he put one in Dan." Now look what's happened. Jeroboam had been told by God that God's going to watch over him and give him a great dynasty. But he looks up around him and he says, "You know, how am I going to hold on to this myself?" Jeroboam basically says, "How am I going to do this?" And so he comes up with a plan. He said, "The people, if they go down to Jerusalem every year, 2 or 3 times a year for the feast, and they go down to the worship, you know, that's a long journey down there to Jerusalem. And if they keep doing that, then they may decide that maybe we bring all of Israel back together. And they'll kill me and go back to Rehoboam." That's what he says in his heart. Now, that's not what God told him. God had already told him, "If you just watch over and walk in my ways and do the things I tell you, that Israel will stay under you." But Jeroboam takes it on himself to solve the problem. And so he makes what basically is a user-friendly religion. He says to the people of Israel, "You know, going down there to Jerusalem, that's a lot of work. That's a long journey. Why don't you just stay here and worship God?" And so he sets up a golden calf in 2 different places so that it's really easy to worship. You hear people even today going to, "Well, go worship wherever's convenient for you. Go worship wherever's what you think's good for you." That's sort of what Jeroboam says. Here's a user-friendly religion, Israel. This is a good way to go about it. And that's what Jeroboam does. And he sets up the golden calves. And he causes Israel to sin against the Lord. In fact, those golden calves end up being worshipped for hundreds of years after Jeroboam. And so the prophet comes to Jeroboam and he tells him, "Jeroboam, God had made you great promises. He said, 'I'll give you everything your soul desires.' But it wasn't enough, was it, Jeroboam? You had to take it on yourself and decide what you were going to do. And notice what the prophet says to Jeroboam in chapter 14 of Kings. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you among the people and made you leader over my people Israel, I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. Yet you have not been like my servant David and kept my commandments and followed me with all of your heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you and have gone and made you for yourself other gods and metal images, provoking me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring harm on the house of Jeroboam and cut it off from Jeroboam every male, both bond and free in Israel. And I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as a man burns up dung until it's all gone. Now that's pretty good what God says to Jeroboam, isn't it? You did this way, Jeroboam. You did it your way. Well, this is going to be the result. And you read over in chapter 15, that's exactly what happened. Baasha becomes king of Israel and he wipes out the house of Jeroboam, just as the prophet had said would happen. What do we learn from these kings? We see two kings that were basically given everything they could desire. Rehoboam was basically given the all of Israel. All he had to do was be a good king and follow after God and be a servant to the people, and they would have been his servants. Jeroboam was offered all of Israel. It was handed to him on a platter. Yet he had to hold on to it by doing what? By simply walking after the Lord's commands. Instead, he did it his own way. And too often, we can make the same mistakes that these men made. We looked last week in Hebrews, so often it says, you can drift away if you're not careful. We can listen to bad advice. We can do it our own way. And if we do, we can suffer the same fate that these men does. Look back at our scripture reading this morning. It's a very simple little passage from Proverbs. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the house of the upright will flourish. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We need to do it God's way, and not the way that seems right to us. It's so easy to listen to and do things the way we think is the best way. But God's commands, they're always there. They bring life. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Life comes when we follow after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not when we do it our way. And it's so easy to fall into that. This morning, the commands of God are not burdensome commands. Look over with me just very quickly at Micah. And Micah brings it out how easy it is to follow the Lord's command. Micah starts this section. He says, what would the Lord want from me? Does he want me to give him 1,000 gallons of oil or great sacrifices? God doesn't ask us for great sacrifices. Micah goes on, what if I were to give my firstborn to the Lord? Would that be enough? He says, God doesn't desire that from you. Listen to what God desires from you. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice is to act right with each other. Treat each other justly. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat each other rightly. Love kindness. Most of us know a kind person. We need to be kind to one another. Some translations, love mercy. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. Be a kind people. And finally, to walk humbly before our God. To know that God truly is God. And when we walk after Him in His ways, He will bless us. If we don't, then we will be destroyed. Those are the two choices you have. Which path you're going to take? Jesus made it very simple. He said there are two roads you can take. There's a narrow road that leads to life, and there's this broad way that leads to destruction. Choose which way you're going to walk. That was the choice given to Rehoboam and to Jeroboam. And they both chose the wrong way. We have the whole story before us. We know how it all turns out. We need to make sure we walk in the way of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, think about your life and what decisions you're making. Who do you listen to? Who do you let advise you? Do you listen to sound teaching? Do you go to those who you know or your leaders to give you sound advice? Or do you just have itching ears and do whatever you want to do, do what seems right and best to you? These two kings, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, stand as examples to us that we need to walk in the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus. If we follow after our Lord and Savior, that way leads to life. If you've never started on that walk, there'll never be a better time than this morning. If you've started on it, but you've gotten off that path, come back to your Lord and Savior this morning. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.